Welcome everyone to the Sports Review, coming to you live out of Studio One, Planet FM 104.6 FM. Just having a few issues here with the, of course, wouldn't be in a show if there wasn't a technical issue. So I'll just go, we'll be going to the line very, very shortly once this promo music finishes, and which I'm trying to sort out at this time, but hopefully this will fade out right now. Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on Planet FM 104.6 FM. If you listen on planetaudio.org.nz, and what a fantastic weekend I've had, and it's a great day here in Auckland. I've got the biggest smile in the world, and I've also got a big smile because I have All Black 853, president of the New Zealand Barbarians Rugby Football Club, my good buddy, and I had a beer with him after the restricted final, AJ Wetton. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you, mate?
Well, by the sounds of it, probably a bit better than you, Piggy, because being a Eden Lizard supporter, you managed to squeeze your way up into my club, Barbarian Club at Eden Park, and you helped yourself big time. Couldn't wipe that smile off your face. Well done for the Lizards, and great game of rugby by all.
Oh, it was fantastic, and I have to give a special thanks to the Barbarians. They've promoted this grade for the last few years, and that game was a great display, and hopefully that's a shot in the arm this grade gets out of, whether it's in Auckland, North Harbour, Counties Manukau, Waikato, Wellington. Let's get it to the Manawatutu who are starting. Let's get it down to the South Island.
Oh, well, I think you'll find that's going to be the case. I mean, great spectacle, and great to have the support of the NZR and the initiative to push it, and we were very happy to jump on board and to see the crowd turn up and the support and the calibre of the match, the skills, the ferocity, the passion. I mean, it was like a NPC game. In fact, could I say, Biggie?
Yes.
It probably was a better quality than the NPC match between Auckland and Northland, and the crowd certainly thought so, and just to have the teams up afterwards, great club men, well-behaved, just a pleasure to host them. And if that's the calibre of the competition and the people involved, bring it on. South Island, get on board, up to the Northland. More teams, the better, and I think that advertisement televised live on Sky can only do wonders for the competition.
Absolutely, AJ, and I have to say, obviously your first impression of me would have to be that I definitely do have a face for radio, so yes.
Let's just say, in height-wise, you certainly fly under the radar.
Oh, well under the radar, AJ, well under it. Hey, talking about impressions, let's get to the All Blacks Wallabies. Wallabies 24, the All Blacks 22. Someone who didn't impress me was the referee, Nick Berry.
Yeah, look, I guess he's working within the rules, and does the ref have that bigger impact? Well, possibly, but he had the backing of the TMO. He was just interpreting the law. Some would say very pedantic. It certainly has an impact. A red card, then another. The game's changed the structure right from then on. So, yeah, a bit of a battle at times, became very scrappy, very disjointed, and we've just got to possibly look at how we can just massage those rules a bit, Biggie, to make sure we have a contest and one that we as spectators, want to keep watching, because it just changes the nature of the game. So, yeah, we knew it was going to be a bit of battle and a couple of yellow cards thrown in. So, it had everything, didn't it?
It certainly did. But I have to say, the Wallabies were led well by Michael Hooper, and Corin Betty, he is just fantastic. But Reece Hodge, now, it reminded me so much of the 90s of Stephen Larkin and his performance.
Yeah, that's actually quite good to bring old Steve Larkin. He's, I think Rennie did well to put him in. I mean, we didn't see that sort of coming. And look, back against the wall, there's no way they were going to come out and get flogged by 30-odd points as did the previous test. I could see what Fozzie was doing and bringing in some changes. I think it warranted it. He had to put some people on the pitch just for game time. But it, possibly came at the expense of a victory. Wasn't much in it in the end, but enough for the Aussies to go away thinking, Yeah, we're better than our last match. We're on the right track. Dave's got a couple of different options now at that first five, a pivotal position. And as I say, if they can just structure and get a bit more consistent ball, stop a couple of Hail Marys, I think they could develop into a competitive opposition for the All Blacks going forward.
Which is good for New Zealand rugby, no matter what anyone says. We need these guys to be competitive. I felt Scott Barrett's brain fade towards the end of the game was just silly. But when I looked at him, he just didn't look match fit, AJ.
Well, don't forget he's been out for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
There's no doubting he's a skillful player, and look, he's going to be there long term. Look, just a couple of things in the heat of battle, he's just got to bring back a bit of the discipline. I mean, you compare him to the evergreen professional in Sam Whitelock. I mean, what a model of a player. You know, he gives them all 100% and he leads by example. But that'll come in time. Still a bit young. Just a couple of ill-disciplined things that come into his game. He's just got to temper those. It was a critical decision because we thought it was play continues. And instead of having the advantage, it was a disadvantage. They got penalised and it came back to bite you in the bum. But it was just those little things. There's a wee bit of niggle. A couple of things, some basics went a bit missing and control the ball. And let's face it, the Aussies were pretty hungry. They needed to rectify their last week's result. So you've got to tip your hat to them.
You certainly do. Would you make any changes for the Saturday against Argentina, AJ?
Well, that's the big one. Look at Argentina. Look, we wouldn't have a clue of what team they're going to put on the table. Being in isolation, being training amongst themselves, you'd have to say, no disrespect to Argentina, but you know, this could be a bit of a flogging. What you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
I think they'll have some changes. I think they may bring back a couple of the experienced campaigners into their normal roles. They certainly want to start the back end of the competition with a win. But they'll go out with some confidence, keep a couple of the new bloods in there. They need the matches, they need the experience, but they should be too good for the Argentinians on the park. As I said, we haven't heard much about them, and really, they're just coming out of the dark, aren't they, really? So I wouldn't know what to expect from them.
Certainly wouldn't. Well, the Mitre 10 Cup is really ramping up as we head into the last round. Friday night was the Southern Derby, Southland 32, Otago 15. The last 15 minutes, Southland stole that game off Otago. It was getting very, very close. I have to say that was a cracking game. And, of course, the game which I had to MySky because I was actually done a lot of MySkying over the weekend because I was otherwise engaged having a few silly sarsaparillas.
You were
indeed. Yeah, thanks, AJ. Thanks for the vote of support. Northland 20, Northland's heart was broken by that man, Ray Arcee, 24-20. Really, I had to feel a bit for Northland, but this guy Ray Arcee, he's just brilliant.
Well, he's a scoring machine if he gets the opportunity. So watch out. There's no doubt we're going to see him in Super Rugby. Look, North Auckland once again. I'll go back on the bus, disappointed. They really should have won it. They've done enough, but little mistakes and Auckland pulled finger probably with 5 minutes to go. Very scrappy. Northland, the more dominant team. Rennie Range has still got a few tricks up his sleeve. Like that boy, Masini Laitori, he always looked dangerous. Didn't get him enough ball. Forwards good, Hugh. Yeah, they all pitched in there, but look, Auckland did enough on the day. And as I say, Ray Arcee, they could thank him that he had the ability to finish off. And they pick up the points, and now books them a semi final.
It certainly does. North Harbour, across the other side of the bridge, North Harbour looked really dominant against Cairns, 32-5. Bryn Gatlin, I think, is just playing really good rugby. His combination with Bryn Hall has actually been fantastic this season, and their forward pack really is quite a good forward pack.
Yeah, look, you did right. Bryn Gatlin's come on, hasn't he? Like to think that the Barbarians are again. Remember they played in the Lions in 2017, we had a New Zealand Barbarian team. Selected right throughout the country, and they were the first one up against Warren Gatlin's Lions, and this is one of them we selected, and his son, and my word, hasn't he come in leaps and bounds. So Yeah, look, the combination with Brin's good. Impressed with the forward pack. That Dylan Hunt, once again, he just keeps knocking on the door, that guy. But like the way they're going. And listen, you know what, 3 losses, and now they've got about 3 wins out of 5 or 4 out of 5. Who would have seen that coming? And County's Manukau, I guess, just going through the motions. I mean, you know, they're battling to keep it together. They always, you know, give it their best. You know, like the loose forwards and Kawhi, Polani and Maturga, but look, they're just lacking the depth, and they're paying the price, isn't they, at the bottom of the table.
And, of course, those red and blacks, they seem... I just don't know. Any time their back's against the wall, they come out fighting. 29-0 win over Tasman. They looked pretty good, AJ. And Auckland, they've got Auckland next week. Now, I know that you've got your Auckland, you've got your red and black voodoo doll, so...
Oh, look, I think Canterbury were going to turn the table on someone, but I didn't think it would be Tasman, and certainly not at that scoreline. Look, I thought it was going to be a tough tussle. But, you know, their named players, they all looked a bit out of sorts. Talia, Havili at the back, Whanganaku, I mean, even Nangrel and Hunt and Chris, that's the back line. You know, you'd think they would have had a better impact on the match. But they got beaten up front. You know, there's no doubt about it. And I didn't see that coming, for sure. But so take your hat off to those old pros and Romano, Princep in the middle row, and Drummond. I mean, he is a very clever footballer, the number 9. And he linked well with his number 10, Cameron, and they just took all their opportunities. And Punavai, up and down player, but he had the goods on the weekend, and 29-0. That's a flogging, mate. That's a good old spanking. And now they have to go back to the table because they need to win next week to secure a home semi.
They certainly do. And, of course, of course the Shire will stay in the summer in the Bay. I know that I've had a few messages from an ex-Eden Lizard. He was also an ex-University Squid, the Rat. So hope you're enjoying yourself down in the Hawke's Bay. But Hawke's Bay have looked really good this year. And they were pretty dominant over Wellington.
Well, what about the start? I was outside doing a few chores. The missus was on my date after being out the other night, so and I rushed in and I missed the first 10 minutes. It's up 18-19-0. I thought, jeepers, what's going on here? And they got out of the blocks and they just took it to Wellington. And they're no mean side of Wellington. I do like Alou again playing well with the ear. I like the way this Dixon leading this team. And at home, they are pretty much invincible at the moment. Nice to see the Shield tucked away. Great to be in the province. The crowd, well, that's what Shield Rugby does, bring it on. Great to see the stands, Chocker. Mm. This Fakatava, God, he's a dag. You can't
miss him,
can you,
Piggy,
with blonde locks at the back there. Certainly very visual. Again, very good up front with Dixon leading the team there. I like, you know, O'Connor I mentioned week in, week out with this combination with Flanders. And look, this side against Wellington, I mean, you've got Fafita there, Katafalu in the loose. You've got this Blackwell, who's always a trier in the second row for Wellington. Garden, Bashup, Asu, Savia, Usen. I mean, these are no mugs. And they took it to them, and they never recovered. They tried to come back, but the writing was on the wall. Good on Hawke's Bay. The Shield is yours for the summer.
Cheers. And, of course, then there was at the same time, what a fantastic win for Bay of Plenty to keep their semi-finals hopes alive. Down 30 points to 19. Stole the game in the 82nd minute, 33-30. Really impressed with Caleb Task. I thought he was brilliant. I don't know whether you had a chance to have a quick look at that one, AJ.
Yep. No, I was crossing too because once they got up, I thought I'd better have a quick look. And then I thought, oh, well, the Bay are in front. They scored early as well. And you did mention a couple of players there and Trask, who's just going from strength to strength. You got a Terry Black there. He's runs the cutter very well. Experienced player. I think we see that. Karpik. Now, he's been around for a while. The blonde live wire flanker. He throws everything at it. And very solid front row in Mafaleo, Eklund and Thwaites. I mean, they are stepping up to the plate. But at home to Waikato, I thought Waikato would possibly be too strong because they're playing for a semi-final spot. And bugger me, as I said, Waikato come back. I think it's all over Rover. And then they nip it. But you always thought it was inevitable. They're right under the goal posts. And good on the Bay. They've actually stepped up very happy. Who's the Clayton McMillan? I mean, he's a very wily old coach, but poor Waikato, they must think and that the gods weren't smiling nicely on the weekend, that's for sure.
And, of course, Taranaki had a 35-19 win to keep them in the top four of the championship. So next week we'll have a chat about, obviously, the All Blacks versus Argentina. And we'll be talking about this, about these semi-finals coming up, which I'm really looking forward to, AJ.
Well, you know that Auckland's got locked one away. Tasman will be banking, hopefully, to lock one away too. And then the other draw, of course, you've got Hawke's Bay, Otago. So she's all to play for. And no one's short of those other semi-final spots. So great rugby. The weather's good. The players are stepping up to the plate, so we're very privileged to see live rugby and the Mitre 10 Cup. Yeah, she's been some great value this season.
Well, AJ, as per usual, it's been an absolutely fantastic bit of talk on rugby, and it was great meeting you the other Saturday.
It must have been the highlight of your weekend to actually meet me in person. I get that a lot, Biggie. And wouldn't mind you to bring out the wallet and see a bit of colour of the cash, eh, next time?
Chat your beer, so, and I know about your bar tab, so we'll keep that one quiet. That, ladies and gentlemen, that was AJ Wayne. See you. Okay, next up, we've got a Frank Endicott. Okay, that was a little bit of music. Had to run that short because me and AJ probably got a bit too carried away and a few laughs. But State of Origin this Wednesday, game two. Game one was an absolute belter. And on the line we have our NRL expert, former Super League coach of the year, former Kiwis coach, former Auckland Warriors coach. And it's a very good Auckland afternoon, Frank Endicott. Frank, how you going, mate?
Very good, thanks, Amon. Very good.
Now, I have to say, I watched that State of Origin one. What a great comeback by Queensland.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, it was a well-deserved win by Queensland, and I say Queensland rookies, over what I thought was a star-studded Blues team, and who just failed to fire in the second half. But the Blues opened up a 10-0 lead at halftime, but looked like a rusty team in the second half with, you know, many unforced errors. And it just gave the rookie Queenslanders too much ball to play with. And they ended up scoring three tries in the last 14 minutes to go one up in the series. And well deserved.
Yeah, and they certainly were. And the old wily old coach, Wayne Bennett, when anything he's involved in, it turns to gold. Now, just in your opinion, what can New South Wales do to stop this? They've made a few changes. Cody Walker is starting at standoff. Boy Cordner's out. And James Tavesco's the captain. If you were coaching New South Wales, what would you do on this, Frank?
Well, you would have them fired up, ready to play for a start, and to go out and not play for 40 minutes, but for 80.
Yeah.
The main thing is ball control. You know, their unforced errors in the first game was just, you know, it was terrible. It's just unacceptable. If they can hold the ball in the second half, they've got the team to win, and I believe they'll bounce back and win this. I really do. You know, you've only got to do the basics right and keep the ball away from Queensland, because no matter how good a team you are, if you just keep dropping the ball and giving it to the opposition, they'll beat you every day of the week. you need the ball to win, and that's what they need to do, respect the ball more.
And, of course, some of the changes made in New South Wales, I think Cody Walker is probably going to make that, give him that little bit of an edge at standoff. But I have to say, Queensland still have that good combination of Daly Cherry-Evans and Cameron Munster. Them two work really well together. And, of course, you've got players like Dane Gagai, Papali, you know, the names keep on coming out.
Yeah, I think the changes that Brad Fittler's made will actually help the Blues. I really do. I know Corey Walker's. He's a real competitor, Cody Walker, and he's had a great year with South, and I think he could be a big player in the second game. But I really believe they'll come back and win this one.
Yeah, I think they've got the talent. The only thing I haven't noticed is Ryan Pappenhausen.
Yeah, well, I would say the only way he's out, I think is he going to put Tedesco out for a start?
Do you put him on the wing, or do you put him on the bench?
Well, you could, but I believe maybe he's still carrying that injury, because I think that if he was fully fit, he would be in the 17.
I would say
he's still carrying that injury.
And, of course, you know, you have a look at that Queensland forward pack. That's a real, pretty good forward pack, but New South Wales, they've got some, you know, Damien Cook really needs to fire in this one. Because
yeah, he was terrible in the first. He really needs to put his hand up, otherwise replace him.
Yeah, well, you have a look at it. Even his last game for Souths, he was just he just looked a bit off there. And I have to say, he needs to fire. He needs to combine. He needs to combine with the likes of the Cody Walkers and the Nathan Cleary. Really needs to step up in this game.
He does. I agree with you. He needs to start running more from dummy half. But of course, the forwards have got to give him quick play the ball so he can run from dummy half and catch the markers out. But he's got to be more jazzed up, ready to go. He looks just a little bit too relaxed to me at the moment. And you're right. He did in the last game for South Sydney when they got knocked out too. You expect more from your good players like Cook because he's capable of changing a game for you.
Oh, he certainly is, and of course, this is a real do or die. I must admit that I did see some of the news articles in Australia. Like there hasn't been as much coverage of State of Origin in Australia, which is really surprising because you know as a rugby league fan, and I know as a fan that any Brisbane paper, any New South Wales paper, it would be all State of Origin.
Yeah, well, it just shows you that the times we're in, you know, with COVID-19 and I mean, I think they still got 29,000 there. They would have got more if it was allowed, but that's what the stadium was allowed to get in, and they got them. It's one of the biggest events of the year in Australia, the State of Origin, and you know, normally in Sydney, and I've been there many times, where for the State of Origin they get over 80,000 people. It'd be interesting to see how many people are allowed in the stadium. I don't know, I'm picking around 40,000.
Which would be a good crowd.
Oh. Yeah, with COVID, which would still be a good crowd, and they'd be predominantly blue, and I think good enough to get their team home.
Oh, please bring on a Trans-Tasman bubble and bring State of Origin to Eden Park. That's what I've got to say, Frank.
The State of Origin in New Zealand's Canterbury and Auckland, mate.
Oh, we certainly know that. Hey, you've got an ex-Kiwis reunion coming up this weekend in the South Island, I believe.
Yeah, well, I can't get the one in Auckland, but I'm certainly there's one in Christchurch in a couple of weeks' time, and I'll certainly be at that one without travelling. It's always good to get together with the old Kiwis and your old mates and,
well, my
you know,
old mate
have a
Logan
beer
Edwards
and a talk.
Be there. Frank?
Yes.
Yeah, Logan Edwards will be there. Has he behaved in his older age?
Well, I haven't seen much of Logan lately, but hoping he'll be there. He's a good man. He's a family man now, boy. Logan. And the one thing about Logan Edwards, he greets you the same every time he sees you. He's always got a smile on his face and his arms out. He was a real good player, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a great player. He was part of that fantastic Canterbury Rugby League team, the likes of him, Aaron Whittaker, Mark Nixon, you know, real good blokes.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like a family, you know. They were very, very close.
Oh, they certainly were, mate. And, you know, bringing back a lot of old memories for me going down to the old Addington showgrounds and watching them giving Auckland a bit of a spank.
they were good times, those mid-90s.
Oh, yeah, I think they were. It definitely did have a few sore heads. Now, just to let you know, Frank, we're not going to have a bet on the State of Origin because, you know, I've just had to see the bank manager just to get another loan just to pay the first loan out.
I see the TAB have got the Queensland, who won the first one, they're paying $3.40 head-to-head, which is great money, but New South Wales, $1.30. I thought they might have been $1.40, $1.50, but they're $1.30, but you don't get 30% in the bank.
You certainly don't. Well, Frank, thanks for dropping in today. It's been really great having you. I'm really looking forward to the State of Origin on Wednesday. I hope it's going to be a real cracker. And and we'll have a chat about game two and preview game three as we next week. So thanks a lot, Frank, and it's always a pleasure speaking to you, mate. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Endicott. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Eamon. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's put on a bit more music, and then we've got the old madness of Brendan McNeice. He'll have a lot to say. He's texted me about three times today, and he'll give us some of his football thoughts and some of his racing thoughts, political thoughts. You're going to hear it all here. Well, let's play a bit of music.
Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. Where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old. And magnificently we will fold into the mystic. That foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. Yeah, when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Room. Quick bit of music and, of course, on the line. He's calling from Wellington. He's had a great weekend. He gives us our football scoops. He also gives us our racing scoops, our political scoops. And it is a very, very good afternoon to Brendan McNeice. Brendan, how are you?
Oh, good, mate. Good, mate. I just want to start off with big congratulations to the Eden Lizards and yourself. I know you've had a lot of involvement with them on winning the Under 85 National Championship. On the New Zealand rugby website, some great photos there of the team and the supporters. And it must have been a fantastic occasion.
It was a fantastic occasion, Brendan. You know, it means a lot when it's your team. Like, we all love our big clubs, like our All Blacks, we like our Phoenix, we like our Warriors, you love your Celtic, but this means a lot more to me because it's probably more closer to the heart. But talking about closer to the heart, mate, some of this football, mate, what the hell was going on?
Oh, Yeah, but you tell me it will boast, though. It has just been an absolutely insane season so far. You just got to look, at the top of the table, and you know, you think Leicester, Tottenham second, and the biggest game of the season played, really, the biggest game of the season so far, apparently played overnight, and it ended up in a 1-1 draw between Manchester City and Liverpool. Well, of course, I'd say Jurgen Klopp would be happier with the result because it's an away point. Kevin De Bruyne, the great Dutchman, he missed a penalty.
He's from Belgium, Brendan.
Huh?
He's from Belgium.
Oh, he's from Belgium. Yes, Belgium. Yeah. Well, yeah, next door neighbours. He is indeed from Belgium. But at least he had Jesus to save him because Jesus scored the equaliser for City and ended up with a 1-1 draw. But, so what's going on? You're absolutely right. And even is Jose Mourinho gearing up for a serious title bit with Spurs? You know, that has to be a question, though. Spurs winning overnight 1-0 at West Brom.
Most definitely. I'll tell you what, the money's still good on them as well, too, and Harry Kane scoring a goal. And, of course, Aston Villa over Arsenal this morning.
Oh, indeed. Yes. Look, Arsenal definitely flattered to deceive. Roy Keane actually, he actually called them the Wizard of Oz, really, recently. Just sort of said that there's really nothing there. They're not a great side. And, of course, Ollie Watkins scored a double for Aston Villa. And Arsenal scored an own goal. 3-0 at the Emirates. It's just absolutely insane. Thrashed at home by Aston Villa. And, of course, you know, if you go back to, Brendan Rodgers, like, yeah, Jose Mourinho, is out to prove that they're not yesterday's men. And, you know, Leicester sitting proudly at top of the table. Jamie Vardy penalty over 1-0 over Wolves. And it's just insane, absolutely. But then in the bargain bin section of the EPL for Manchester United currently reside, they had a 3-1 win over Everton, and of course Everton are struggling. So to me, that's only glossing over the cracks because, you know, the real shock of the week, if you really look at it, was Manchester United's performance in Europe. You know, Istanbul Beşiktaş, Eamon. Does that roll off the tongue with Barcelona and Real Madrid?
No, it doesn't. I'll tell you something. Do you know what I was going to say? If we'd beaten that Istanbul Basaka and you were going, and I was going to get a bit more gripe from you about me, I was going to say we concentrated on Europe.
Well, the fundamental reality is that, you know, you can't allow this win over Everton to actually shape what's actually going on or divert what's really going on at Old Trafford. There's a fundamental breakdown. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not up to the gig. Let's call it what it is. There's players there, the likes of Pogba and Maguire, who wouldn't be allowed to hit the pains at Liverpool. Let's be entirely frank about this. And they have got to go. There needs to be a reset. This will be their fourth or fifth reset now since Sir Alex retired. But it's time for a reset. Like, there was a 35-year-old striker, Demba Ba, walked through the Manchester United defence like a wedding through a small town, and it looked as if they didn't give a monkey's.
It just doesn't seem to them. There's not that passion there. Just getting back to some of the other results, Southampton and Chelsea, they got some good wins.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course this is really, really making it a tantalising season. If you look at the table, and it means now that, you know, if you're talking about the traditional top four, you're talking about eight teams, maybe nine, that can actually really seriously contend for the top four, if not the title itself. Because, you know, like, who's to say Tottenham or Leicester can't go all the way? You know, like, because It's just that open. It's just that crazy a season. And of course, Wait for handing out the brickbats day. Celtic also had an absolute Joe Cocker in Europe, losing 4-1 to the unheralded Czech side Sparta Prague. And the whispers that were around a few weeks ago for Neil Lennon's head have now become like a roaring tornado, because even though Celtic won 4-1 overnight at Motherwell, Europe and the Glasgow derbies are the benchmarks for Celtic. In them particular two areas, Lennon is clearly failing. It's just... it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch, but especially in this season of all seasons, when Celtic are going for an unprecedented 10 in a row, and it actually looks like it's going to be a squeaky bum time right through to May.
Talking about squeaky bum time, what's TAB meltdown, mate? How did he go on Melbourne Cup?
The Melbourne Cup didn't make any money, and that's actually par for the course. I haven't really made any money in the Melbourne Cup since 1983. Vintage Cup won it for Ireland, but even was an Irish 1-2-3. I don't know. Look, Stevie Wonder's better at picking horses than I am. But on Saturday, the Australian TAB Cap Corp had a phenomenal meltdown, and it's actually cost the racing industry at least $7 million, and the TAB on both sides of the Tasman around $100 million in lost bets. First of all, they thought it was Asian hackers that had got into the site, but that actually proved to be a malicious rumour, and it was a massive power failure in Sydney. And even the mega bookies in the UK, which bet on Australian and New Zealand racing, were completely flummoxed to Bet365, Ladbrokes, William Hills, and all the rest, and couldn't have markets on Saturday, and it was just a punter's graveyard. Probably saved me a bit of money, but actually it's not the same on a Saturday without a bet.
It isn't the same, and of course, you'd be happy with the American election result.
I would indeed, as would most of the civilised world.
Yes.
Joe Biden. where was that? Because in Joe Biden's victory speech, like we just had seen a charisma from him that we'd never actually seen before. And I thought, where was all of that charisma? And where was that passion during the campaign? And if he'd have shown that, maybe he would have carried the Senate. Because even though that Biden has won the presidency, thank God, and we're rid of that absolutely, completely narcissistic idiot. But the thing is, if there had been a big blue wall right through the Midwest, we would have seen Biden and the Democrats carry the Senate, which would make it an awful lot easier to carry out the actions that he wants to do, like trying to make. Trying to heal the wounds of America and heal the wounds of the world, but it is, it's certainly a step in the right direction.
It certainly is, and of course, we never know. We might get Mr. Trump coming down to Wellington. He's threatened to leave the country, so I believe there's a place up for sale next to you, so you might have a new neighbour, Brendan.
Oh yeah, well I'll tell you what. We'll get him down to Courtney Place about midnight on a Saturday night, and we'll see how many friends he has.
He's got a lot of money. He's probably buying the drinks.
The world's a crazy place at the minute. And we're just back to the football there. There's Manchester United players blaming COVID and all the rest, but the rest of the world has got to put up with COVID. You know, these players who are on multi-million-pound, multi-million-dollar contracts, you know, complain that there's no crowds, that they're feeling a bit lost. You know, like if I was getting $250,000 a week, I think I'd cope rightly.
I think all of us would cope rightly, Brendan. I think that, you know, like when I hear this, I tell you what it reminds me of. It just reminds me of spoiled brats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get paid more. You imagine the poor fan that can't go to the game. That's probably might be on wouldn't even be on quarter of the money a week than what these people are on. And I just, you know, it makes me sick.
I look at those great photos of the Eden Lizards on the and the listeners are just pop onto the New Zealand Rugby website.
Definitely
don't
do.
Take a second. and actually have a look at the joy on the faces of those players, and they're not getting paid a cent. You know, and the thing is that's what sport's all about, to my mind.
It definitely is, Brendan. I totally agree with you. And surprisingly, we bicker and we argue and we talk a lot of BS, but we sometimes come up with a lot of common sense on the show. Not very often.
But I was just looking, because the team is playing in the final, the University Squids. I thought to myself, who would have named the University Squids? Because to me, it's not the most... Oh, it's not the greatest name I've ever heard for a rugby team. But I thought, what I'll do is, because I've heard from time to time different silly names for university football teams, college football teams in America. And I've got three for you, and these are fair dinkum. I'm not making these up. The University of Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
The next one.
That's number three, and they get worse. The Williams College Purple Cars.
And please, oh God, what's that boy?
The last but not least, the winner of the stupidest name for a football team in the world, the North Carolina Fighting Camels. If you don't believe me, Google it, guys. Google it. They are the banana slugs, the purple cars on the Fighting Camels, because they're the University Squids. Now, that makes them look like the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was going to say to you, we won't mention what the name of our national badminton team's called.
Hey, look, it's a family show. It's a family show,
it
Raymond.
Certainly
and
is.
We'll keep it that way. We've got our values.
We've got our values, no matter, and our morals, no matter how low they are. Brendan, it's always a pleasure having a chat to you, mate, and thank you so much for your support. I know a few people listening that Brendan met a couple of us old lizards for a beer and, you know, was texting me during the game, so it's always... always great having a chat to you, Brendan, and we'll
yeah,
talk.
I just want to issue an apology to all the people from Belgium for calling Kevin De Bruyne a Dutchman.
On that note, goodbye, Mr. McNeice. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch you next Monday.
Don't worry, mate. Cheers.
Well, he does keep us entertained, and he makes us laugh. Okay, so next up, we're going to rip into our local content, which will have Joel Taylor, captain of the Victoria Seton Lizards, who won the National Under 85, and a Lizard legend, my old mate Stu Tudor.
But you, why you don't seem the same to me? I told you that I loved you right from the start. You told me the very same thing, but now you try to break my little heart. Anytime that you are alone, prove to you my love is true. true. Anytime you're thinking of me, that's the time I think of you. Anytime you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back to you.
Okay, that was a bit of music, and have to say over the weekend, and this is our local sports contents, over the weekend I had the pleasure of going to Eden Park to watch National Under 85 KG's final. If you didn't know the result, if you're living on Mars, it was Eden Lizards 27, the University Squids 24, and I have on the line the captain of the Eden Lizards and a guy that I think's just been, you know, his leadership on the field and off the field really impressed me. He's a great bloke, Joel Taylor. Good afternoon, Joel. How are you, mate?
Afternoon, Peggy. I'm fantastic, mate. Yourself?
Oh, mate. The smile's still on my face. And also on the line, I've got an old mate of mine, my good friend of 23 years, my first rugby coach at the Lizards. He's been a part of this team for over 40 years, and it's a good afternoon from Rotorua, and he made it back for the game. Stu Tudor, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, Eamon.
Oh, good, good. You can call me Piggy, guys. It's all cool. We're all in a comfortable place. Anyway,
yeah.
Guys.
How are you, Joel?
I'm well, Stu.
Yeah, now.
Good to hear your voice, mate.
Yeah, well, and how are the heads, gentlemen? How are the heads on Sunday?
Well, mine driving back to Rotorua, a little bit hazy, but we got there okay, so, yeah, all good now.
And, Joe, how was your head, mate?
I'm still trying to find it at the moment. probably a question better posed to a few of the other lads, I think.
Yeah, well, I think so. First of all, I'm going to say, you know, and we do have to put local contents on my radio show, and of course, no better perfect advertisement for restricted rugby was that final, and I have to say, a real fast-flowing game. Eden really had their opportunities, had two intercepts, but really came back, fought back well, and it really meant a lot of pride to a lot of us ex-Lizards. Joel, just tell us a bit about yourself. You're an ex-St. Peter's boy. You went to university in Wellington. You played a couple of years of restricted rugby. What brought you down to the team?
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate summary, Piggy. Yeah, so it was the St. Peter's, the high school connection that got me down initially. Some of the Centurions of the Lizards team, Matt Newman, Tom Northcott, Dan Smith, Alex Rowell gave me the message to come on down and play. And, obviously the team's got an amazing culture and never found a reason to leave. So
yep.
It takes us now.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, Joel, you've really added to that team some of the songs, which we can't put on air because of Broadcasting Standards Authority. Stu, your first involvement in the Lizards started, but when was that, 1977, 76?
No, 74.
Jeez.
1974, yeah. The Lizards' name had been around for a couple of years, but, I joined in 74 and been around sort of since.
Yep, yeah, you certainly have. And, of course, anyone that's met Stewie has a striking resemblance to Grizz Wiley, Colonel Sanders and Ron Jeremy's granddad. So that's so that's who Stewie. But over the years, you've seen some players come and go. You must be really proud of this current lot of Lizards. You must be, because I know that you had a lot to do with a lot of the guys Joel mentions, the Matt Newmans, the Tom Northcotts, the Dan Smiths, the Alex Rowles. You know, you must be absolutely stoked at the moment, Stu, with all this.
Oh, yes. Over the moon for them. I mean, yeah, a good bunch of guys. And as Joel mentioned, you know, two or three of them have hit their 100 games, and Smithy's not too far away. So, yeah, no, it's fantastic, and the boys have done well. You know, we weren't even sure we were going to get rugby this year, starting 27th yeah. of June, which is couple of months behind where we were, and then coming into this competition, you know, it's just unbelievable where we've ended up this year. So fantastic, really.
It certainly is. And of course, you know, when you look at that final, Joel, in your opinion, this final is such a great advertisement for this grade, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's still sort of sinking in, you know, the memories and the feeling of having played out there on Eden Park, you know, having right down to people managing on the sidelines telling you where you can and can't sit. It was all a bit of a new experience for the players out there on the field and the whole team on the sideline as well, a bit of a taste for the high life and an insight into, I suppose, what the professionals are doing week in, week out. But yeah, also just a celebration of a grade that I suppose has never had the exposure until this point in time. And I think, you know, talking to people back at the club afterwards, there's already been a lot of chat from players in the 1R grade at high school that have, you know, really started following not only our progress in the Lizards, but, you know, the entire competition. And it sounds like it's got quite a few of those young kids really excited to kick straight on into it in the under-85s comp, which I think, you know, just about the only thing you need to know if you're judging the success of this competition, because that's what it's all about, I think, getting players to keep playing sport when they leave school.
Yeah, and I think it is a great thing. And I know, Stu, you're involved with the Mags 1R, which I've probably nicknamed the Eden Lizards Academy, but, you know, you've been involved in this, because I know that you're involved when there was a review of the restricted grade and some of the things that are coming out there. What, you know, the numbers in 1R, is it going to progress, Stu? Because I believe this grade's going to be so vital for the future of rugby, not only in Auckland and in New Zealand.
Yeah, well, I think it is. I mean, this year, it's only been going 2 years. Last year was the first year. We had 12 teams start and three pulled out because they were getting big hidings every week. So, and this year we had 12 teams again kick it off. And Westlake from North Shore entered the Auckland competition, which was great. And I can see it really growing, and you know, it'd be great once it hits the South Island. I think will really take off. And talking to some of those chaps down in Wellington last weekend, they're really pushing it in the Wellington region as well. So I think it will grow, and we'll see what comes of it. You know, we may end up getting a national side again and playing Aussie and perhaps some of the Asian nations. You know, it would be a great competition. It's a perfect grade for the little guy with the same skills as any senior or Super 12 player, really, that isn't, you know, 6'10" and 120 kg. So anybody that's under 85, obviously with the skills, it's the ideal grade for them.
It certainly is, Stu. And of course, we had the presentations at the Barbarians. I know what AJ Wheaton actually said. He actually thought that restrictive final was better than the Auckland Northland game. So that was great. Joel, just obviously, you know, you made a great speech, but I have to say I've got to give it out to the Squids. They actually played really well. Really impressed with what Andy Island, the opposition captain, said about this, and it really, you know, stood strong with both teams. Is that, you know, 5 years ago, he'd moved up from another part of New Zealand. He was probably going to be on the couch, not playing rugby until he discovered this grade.
I guess to address any of the listeners who maybe don't have as much context around the grade as we do, having been involved in it, it really is, I suppose, you know, there's a few strongholds of the grade, Auckland, Wellington, counties, North Harbour, Waikato, but yes, you know, if you're not living and playing in any of those cities right now, there may be slightly fewer options for you to continue your grade. But I think not too many people start playing 85s and they never regret their decision. I think most people are pleasantly surprised, if nothing else, at just how enjoyable a grade it is. You can enter every weekend without, I suppose, the fear of needing to, you know, get your tackling technique perfect against someone who weighs 140 kgs. And I think as a result, you know, the longevity some players have in the grade just continues to you know, they come back year after year. We've got a number of centurions in our team, and I'm sure that there's a few more of them floating around, which also speaks, I think, to just the amazing culture, not just in our team, but that's shared across the grade, the good times that are had, which is, just a great advertisement for the grade as well.
It certainly is, guys, and one of the things I've always said is in Premier Rugby, you don't have that sort of loyalty. Guys float from club to club, but in restricted rugby, you do have that loyalty, and we're basically, we're all mates, and everyone follows their friends. And I think, you know, over the years, Stu, you've probably seen when in your coaching and managing the Lizards, where you've just had clusters of groups that will just turn up because one's playing and another one follows.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, when I was coaching, we had players playing for me for 20 years. Paddy Gibbons, Russell Sargon, who played 20 years, probably a couple of hundred games for the Lizards. And, you know, our families are like cousins, so the kids and that all grew up together. So it is a grade like that. It's not like 21s when you're only there for a couple of years. Your age group then puts you on or out of rugby. Premiers, you get smashed up after 5 or 6 years. I mean, I know guys from other clubs that have been around 10, 15 years. So, you know, it is a grade. And then a lot of them come back and are part of the club's administration. And it is, for that reason, it's great for that. You know, it's a grade that guys definitely do stick around for a long time. Or a lot of them do, not all obviously, but a lot of them do.
Well, I have to say, guys, it's really, you know, being, I suppose, the 7th of November around 1:13 p.m. Eden Park, it's going to be a memory for you, not for me. I know it's going to be a memory for you, and definitely, Joel, it's going to be a memory for you, mate.
Yep, absolutely. Never forget.
It's, you know, I have to say, guys, it's been fantastic having you both on. You've increased my ratings by 0.01%, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's local content.
It's all about the micro margins, though, Piggy.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, anyone going, and, of course, club rugby is still around there. We've got the club sevens out at Waitemata Park between 9 and 9.30. Now, Eden will have their sevens team, and I hope nobody moans that they've got too many restricted players. So on that note, I will leave you, gentlemen. I'm just gonna have a minute to share my thoughts with the listeners. You can have a listen if you want to, guys. Sports brings out many emotions. It brings out the happiness, the sadness. I felt those emotions on Saturday. 1997 for me personally was a real tough year, and had a lot of sadness, bit of a dark place. But there was a highlight in 1997. My brother Sean, a guy called Paul Chacon, a guy called Dave Mogford, told me to come down and play for the Eden Lizards. And I'm going to say something. This has been a big part of my life for 23 years. And 1:13, November the 7th, I know where I was. You know, these guys put their heart and soul into it. And you know what? The Lizards are not just this team. They're a club within a club, a brotherhood of mates, and this is what sports is all about. I want to thank everyone for listening today, and I hope everyone has a great week. This is Peggy signing off.